Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Father Donald Calloway. Many who know of Father Calloway know him because of his conversion story. He has spoken of it at conferences, on television, radio, online, and wherever he can spread the message. His book, No Turning Back, finally captures in print how divine mercy, through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, touched his life. No Turning Back recounts Father Calloway's personal story of conversion after reading a book about Our Lady. Though today he is a devout Catholic Marian priest, Father Calloway's early years were no indication of what was to come. Before his conversion to Catholicism, he was a high school dropout who had been kicked out of a foreign country, institutionalized twice, and thrown into jail multiple times. Discovering a book on Our Lady led to his conversion and ardent love of Mary and the Church. Father Donald Calloway now serves as a priest in the Congregation of Marians of the Immaculate Conception. He has completed advanced studies in Mariology and strives to share his own love of Mary. Currently, Father Calloway is the House Superior of the Marian House of Studies in Steubenville, Ohio, and Vocation Director of the Marians. At the Catholic Marketing Network Conference held in Philadelphia, I had the opportunity to go inside the pages with Father Calloway of his new book, No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy, published by Marian Press. Father Donald Calloway, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
It is one of the most compelling conversion stories that I've heard in so long from someone who's living. The other one, I think, was St. Paul, or maybe St. Augustine.
Yeah, I'm glad to be alive, actually. I probably should be dead, just because of all the crazy things that I did in my life. And the Lord has just been so good to me. He's just shown me so much mercy. It's just tremendous.
First, how's the surfing?
Good. I was surfing in California just the other day, so it was very good. I'm actually going to be speaking at a big, huge Divine Mercy event in Fiji in January, and so I'm going to be surfing there as well, some world-class stuff, so I'm so excited about that.
You mean you can be a priest and still have fun?
Oh, yeah. Oh, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm not a robot. I love the priesthood, I love the church, and I love to have a good time and just go out and enjoy the ocean and just, you know, be a man. You know, I just love it.
Your conversion story is an incredible one, as chronicled in No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy. It is also just a testament to the fruits of the Spirit that for the Marianists, as the vocation director, you have how many coming into the priesthood in formation right now?
Oh, yeah. The Marians in Stockbridge, we're going to have almost 30 men this summer coming in, and they're quality guys. I mean, they're just phenomenal, exceptional men of God, and we're so excited about that.
Did you ever anticipate when you entered in the seminary that you would be called upon to bear witness so strongly with your life story?
No, actually. I thought that I was going to be what's called in religious life a novice master, which basically means you're living like a monk on some level. You're training the new men, but you don't leave the house too much. You basically live a very ascetical life, teaching these men classes every day and not getting to travel. Well, you know, that's not what God wanted, because he sent me out to the ends of the earth, and I travel every week now, nationally and internationally, talking about what God has done in my life, telling souls about Jesus, Mary, the church, the sacraments, the priesthood, and I love it. I just love it so much.
One of the most poignant moments, I think, in the book and in your story is that moment when you encountered silence after a life, can I say that a riotous at best?
Oh, yeah. It was about from ages about 11 to 20, I was never hardly in a silent environment. I would have some preoccupation, some distraction, something going on, music, something happening. And so when I had this moment of silence when I was 20, I really didn't know how to react. And I kind of panicked because, believe it or not, the silence was actually loud. And that sounds strange. It sounds like a paradox. How could that be? But it was. And that really was one of the factors that got me to make a few steps after that, that I ended up having a huge, huge, huge conversion.
In today's culture, unfortunately, your life wasn't an exception. I mean, there are so many.
Yeah, oh, there are tons. My heart goes out to the people today, especially the young people, because you're right. I mean, my life and its tragedy and all the bad things that I did, is very indicative of so many out there who are lost in their thinking, who don't know God, who don't want to know God, or who have turned away from God, and people who are living very, very immoral lives and don't believe in heaven, hell, right, wrong, any of those things. There is huge, huge, huge groups of people out there who are, you know, lost and just not knowing what life is all about. And I was right there with them. And my desire is to reach out to them through the conferences that I do and my speaking events, and now through my book, to get the message out there, because the book can reach into prisons, you know, sometimes where I'm not even able to go, and to touch hearts with a message of hope, a message of mercy, and to help them to discover the reality of Jesus Christ and to fall madly in love with Him.
It's written in a real guy way. I mean, you don't pull any punches.
It's definitely not some high theological book that you're not going to understand. I mean, it's a book where you laugh, you cry. At times, certain people who read it want to punch me because they think, boy, this kid was really bad. I mean, if I was his mom, I would have smacked that kid a long time ago. It is definitely written in a way that I speak. You know, it's written in that style. With all my mannerisms and all the idioms, the ways that I say things. And I think a lot of people like that because, you know, a lot of people who don't believe in God or are away from the church may not be inclined to read a book by a Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. But when they see this one with me on the cover with one of my surfboards in California standing there, they might be intrigued, like, wait a minute, what is this? This is not something you see every day. What does this guy got to say? But once you start reading it, I can tell you get two or three paragraphs into it already, you're going to be hooked, and you're going to be a few chapters into it before you put it down, just on your first setting. I almost guarantee that. I mean, it's very hard to put down.
What were you looking for in those years? What were you looking for?
Oh, I think like everybody else, I was looking for happiness. I wanted to be happy, and so I thought, well, I can do all these drugs, I can be with all these beautiful girls, I can go to all these clubs and parties and so forth, and, you know, live on the beach and soak up the sun. And it does lead to a temporal happiness. I mean, you're happy for a time, it feels good. But ultimately, I was longing for that happiness that never ends, that satisfaction of being at rest and of being at peace and not having to worry and be paranoid and running and chasing and pursuing things. And that's why I think that restlessness was there until I had my conversion and got rocked by God. Only then was I truly able to rest and be at peace, because I'd realized this is what I was made for. This is what will last forever, paradise and eternity, that, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what awaits those who, you know, are there. I mean, it's just going to be phenomenal.
Your story really is one of a mother's love, too. Two mothers, really.
Yeah, it definitely is. One chapter in my book, actually, I dedicate to my mom, and it's called My Saint Monica, talking about my earthly mother and just what I put her through, and then how, like, now we're like the best of friends after my conversion. It's just amazing what the Lord has done. It gives me such joy to know that my mother's heart is at rest, and not, she doesn't worry about me, her son, anymore. You know, Mom, I'm good to go. I know Jesus Christ. I'm fine. And then also, obviously, with our Heavenly Mother, Our Lady, because she's the one ultimately who brought me to Jesus Christ. And to this day continues to watch over me, protect me, and I just love so much. She just means everything to me.
As a Marian priest, there is also that appreciation of the great love that St. Faustina brings in her witness to the world.
Oh, yeah. St. Faustina is a huge part of what we do. We're affectionately known as the Divine Mercy Priest. We run Stockbridge, the Shrine of Divine Mercy, and we spread Divine Mercy materials throughout the world. And St. Faustina is a saint for our times. This message of mercy, of Divine Mercy Sunday, the chaplet of Divine Mercy, the promises that go with this message. And, you know, so much of learning to trust in Jesus in a world that's telling us not to trust Him. You know, don't trust Him. Don't trust the church. You know, don't trust this stuff. This is outdated, antiquated teaching of some guys who lived in the 14th century. But what Jesus tells us is, no, please trust me. I'm worthy of your trust. I know everything seems chaotic, but put your confidence in me. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not lying to you. I'm not out to hurt you or deceive you or to harm you. I know it's difficult, and you're going to have pain. It's a valley of tears, but this is what your heart longs for, you know, meaning and purpose, so that your suffering does have meaning and it's not wasted, so that you can have hope that after this life, you know, you can be at rest, be at peace. And I think that that's a huge part of why so many men are joining my community. What I'm so excited about is being apostles and witnesses to this mercy, because the world needs this more than ever. I mean, who isn't wounded and broken and messed up? We're all messed up. We've got issues, baggage, all of us. And we need this message of divine mercy, I think, more than any generation has ever needed it.
You're a good son of mercy. I mean, you've experienced that in your own life. And that is, at its core, what it, grace and mercy. They're hand in hand, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. You know, one of the visions at Fatima was just that. It said graces and mercy. Graces and mercies. And that's, yeah, we need that. Who can live without that? You know, and that's what the Lord desires to give to us and our times in which we live, is these graces and mercies to make us realize that His mercy can conquer us, no matter what we've done, no matter how bad it is, and we've all done, you know, some bad things. His mercy can conquer us, and it wants to conquer us and fill us with His grace so that we can be happy, truly happy, and be at peace.
When we think of conversion stories, sometimes we think when that moment happens, then everything else is, you're going down the yellow brick road and the rainbows and everything else, but it's not that way, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I definitely had my honeymoon conversion, so to speak, and it was beautiful, it was wonderful, it was just, if I could say, delicious. You know, it was just me and God were just in spiritual romance, which is beautiful. But obviously, after that, the honeymoon never lasts forever. You got to get on with the relationship and the day-to-day grind of things, and it's like that in our relationship with God, too. So we're going to be experiencing throughout our lives ongoing conversion. So you may have one particular moment where you can say, ah, this is when I gave my life to Christ. This is when I really understood what the church was talking about. But then you're going to, all throughout your life, you're going to experience just growing in the faith, maturing in the faith, growing in virtue. And that's good. And that's normal. That's how it happens. And I try to reiterate that to people in my book, lest they think, oh, wow, you experienced this and that was it, you were good to go. No, actually, it's ongoing. And every day, even as a priest, I have to commit renew myself, my dedication to Jesus Christ and His church. And I have to realize that I need to be humble. I need myself to go to confession. I need to continue with my brothers and sisters on this journey of dying to myself and conforming my life to Jesus Christ. And that's a lifelong process.
You've done so many other wonderful things besides the work you've done in No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy, and I'm thinking of The Purest of Lilies.
Mm-hmm.
That was a part of, was it your thesis?
It was, yeah. Yeah, I got my licentiate, an ecclesiastical degree, a church degree, in Mariology, studies about the Virgin Mary, and I did my thesis on the Virgin Mary in the life of St. Faustina. And I love doing it because I just love the message of divine mercy in St. Faustina. And as I read through her diary, I just realized, boy, the Virgin Mary is popping up here on like almost every other page. Somebody needs to research this and unpack this, the presence of Our Lady in her life. And so I was given permission to do my thesis on that. And it was very long and it had, oh my gosh, like 700 footnotes. And so we downsized it to make it more readable and less academic and such. And so we put it out as Purest of All Lilies, The Virgin Mary and the Life of St. Faustina. And it's a beautiful little book that helps people to realize the role and the importance that Our Lady had in this great saint's life, St. Faustina.
She pops up everywhere. You even found her in the Theology of the Body.
Yeah, that's another thing. I love John Paul II, and so I loved his Theology of the Body. And I thought to myself, gosh, Mary has to be the one to encapsulate this Theology of the Body, because she's the perfection of human creatureliness, you know, and bodiliness, because she's the Immaculate Conception. So let's bring her into all this, too, and unpack that. And so I did a book on that as well. And that one is very academic, you know, and is a very, very intense read. But it's some good stuff. Theologically, it's some really good stuff.
You've made a journey, it sounds like, from the heart to the head, back to the heart again.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. It's so funny. I mean, you know, when I'm out surfing, it's just all about riding the waves and just having a great time and everything. And then I can go put on my collar and get back in academic mode. And then I can go hang out with young people and just, yo, dude, what's up, you know, talk their language and all that. And I just love it. I love to be like all things for all people. And it's funny because, you know, I've got tons of degrees, you know, summa cum laude, but that doesn't mean dink to me. I mean, it's nice to have, but being real, I think, is more important. And so, you know, I can do the academic thing, but my preference is to just be me and give my talks. And I've given academic talks on occasion internationally. And it's so funny because they see all these degrees behind my name, and so they think I'm going to get up there and, you know, just talk above their head and give all this, you know, really, really smart stuff. And I get up there and I'm just myself, and they love it because they're like, oh, wow, this guy's actually human. You know, he's not a robot. And he can, I feel I can relate to this guy because, you know, he's got degrees, but he's really easy to talk to, you know, and he just seems to be a cool guy to hang out with. And I love that. I love that the priesthood, presenting it as approachable to people so that they're not, you know, put off by it, that they can feel that they can come and talk to me and that they can feel comfortable, you know, going to confession to me and just, you know, falling in love with Jesus Christ, you know, and me being a part of that process is just, I can't thank the Lord enough for letting me have a share in his priesthood to be able to do that.
We're talking with Father Donald Calloway, the author of No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy. And Father, you came into the priesthood at a time when the church was going through what George Weigel has termed a scourging at the pillar. And of course, I'm speaking of the priest abuse scandal. It's now rearing its head again throughout the rest of the world. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that wasn't easy. I was actually ordained in Massachusetts in 2003 when the bulk of this stuff was just busting on the scene with the pedophilia and all that stuff. And I mean, I got some stares from people when I was out in public in my collar, and they were not happy stares. You know, people looked at me like if they could punch me, they probably would. And it was just a horrible, horrible time. But, you know, the Lord is doing some amazing things right now. He's raising up a new generation of priests who are just phenomenal guys, men who are just so zealous. And I think Weigel's right, you know, when he made that statement that, you know, the priesthood has taken a real beating lately, people mocking it, making fun of it. We've seen, you know, some priests do some pretty bad things. And yet, you know, it's through the priest that we get the Eucharist, the sacraments. And so the Lord is going to raise up, and he is, a new generation of good men to serve the needs of the people, to administer the sacraments. And as I said earlier in our conversation, the Marians have got 30 men coming down the line, seminarians. And these are high-caliber guys. I mean, these are real men of God. And I can't wait to see these guys at the altar and out there doing ministry and touching hearts.
No priest, no Eucharist. And the Eucharist is what really, that moment when you talk about that moment in your Mass, that first Mass, the Eucharist is what it's all about.
Oh, the Eucharist is everything. I mean, it's the apex of, you know, the Christian life because it is Jesus Christ himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so, yeah, without the Eucharist, I believe some saints have said, basically, without the Eucharist, the world would die. You know, we need the Eucharist in our lives more than we need the sun. And everybody knows, nobody would deny that we need the sun to have life, you know. But here we're talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it's the Eucharist is everything to us. It's central. I mean, it's where it's all at, and it's the same Jesus that we're going to see in paradise. It's just the veil is going to be lifted, the exact same Jesus Christ.
Confession is also central, and dare I say that your book could also be termed the Confessions of Father Donald Calloway.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It definitely could be that. I don't know where I'd be without the Sacrament of Reconciliation, without confession. I still frequent it very often. I go to confession a lot, just as I like to say, going in and getting an oil change. Like you go and you take your car for maintenance, a routine checkup, and you run a lot smoother when you do that. And I think it's like auto maintenance for the soul, so to speak. Confession, just go in humility and confess your sins. It's just refreshing to receive that absolution and to be set free. And I literally, no joke, I literally feel the weight lifted on an emotional, psychological level when I leave confession. And I think people actually around me can see it. I have some very close friends, and they can tell when I need to get to confession because my face isn't the same. I've got this look of worry and anxiety and concern because I'm not where I need to be. But when I go to confession and I come out of there, I can tell the difference. Definitely. And actually people around me can too, because I'm lighthearted, I'm free, because Jesus says and gives me the, you know, be of good cheer, I have conquered the world. And that's what he says to a soul in confession, be happy, go in peace, you know. It's just amazing what that sacrament does.
Throughout the book, No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy, and it seems as though you were just ensnared in a web by evil. that's it's ensnaring the world in a way that it never has before, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think it is. I mean, I've grown up in the culture of death. I think generations past, there were situations and that were localized. This area was known to be bad, or this area was known to be bad, or this country had issues. Now it's global. The whole world is in trouble. I mean, there is chaos and immorality and death and darkness and all kinds of disgusting things happening globally across the world. And so I agree. I mean, I think that these times that we're living in are really, really tough times. And therefore, I think that that's why God is blessing these times with the message of divine mercy, because we need it. And he's blessing our times with, you know, allowing Our Lady to come from heaven and apparitions and weeping statues and so forth. And God has given to us some of the greatest popes, you know, John Paul II. I mean, the guy was so holy. And now we've got Pope Benedict. And so God is giving us blessings upon blessings upon blessings. We got the theology of the body. We got so much stuff, because God knows our times need all of this. And we definitely do.
I keep going back to that image in the book where the Filipino women are praying the rosary, and that witness in their just their steadfastness and faithfulness. Look what it did for you.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like Filipino Catholic women. I mean, they're just zealous. They're unbelievable, and it was a testimony, and I became like their little project. You know, they had me wrapped up in medals and scapulars, and they were giving me books by saints and church documents, and they were just such an example to me of what the faith is, how to live it, and how to love it, and they were just tremendous.
That experience of the mystical, that's something we shouldn't be afraid of. We need to discern what is authentic, but whether it's St. Faustina or Padre Pio, that attempt by the Holy Spirit through Our Lady to reach our hearts, what closes us off from that?
I think it's just a lack of humility. I think that God is so often trying to speak to us through, you know, mystical experiences and so forth, and a lot of times we just don't we don't think we need it, or we're just so prideful that that's not for me. But the thing is when you think about it, in our spiritual lives, God is a father, and he's going to give to us these gifts to help us to grow and to help us become better. And we should accept them, you know. And obviously, we have to be discerning. We have to, you know, go into discernment as far as, you know, apparitions and things of that nature. We can't be just accepting everything. And that's why we have the church, is, you know, the Pope and the Magisterium to tell us, well, this one's authentic, this one isn't. Listen to this one you should stay away from, and so forth. And that's the blessing of the church, is that we're able to receive all these blessings and the graces that are given to them. Because oftentimes when Jesus or Our Lady give a message to the world, there's promises that are attached with it. And we don't want to pass up those graces. I mean, think about Divine Mercy Sunday. Jesus promises so much on that day. And that was actually affirmed by the church, by John Paul II, who amazingly gave a plenary indulgence, you know, for those who celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. And then I love this. He actually is a witness, as a testimony to the truthfulness of the Divine Mercy message. He canonized St. Faustina, the first canonized saint of the third Christian millennium. He beatified her, canonized her. And then you know what day he died on? Mercy Sunday. He died after celebrating the Vigil Mass for Divine Mercy Sunday, as like a last testament to, this message is good, you know. Mm-hmm. He himself checked out of this earthly life after having received the same plenary indulgence that he allowed the church to have. Wow. I love that. That is just so awesome. It's a spiritual father telling us, it's okay. God is giving these blessings from heaven. Trust in Jesus. This message is good. Watch me. I'll lead the way. It's tremendous.
Father, once again, for those parents that are out there that have tried to do their best, and yet they're up against a world that is trying to grab at their children, I know you must have a lot of them come to you and say, pray for me, Father. Pray for my child, Father.
Yeah, oh, I do, constantly, everywhere I go. And I think the basic message is, you're just going to have to keep loving your children, you know, just pouring out love, not affirming or condoning the things that they're doing, if they're bad. But love conquers in its time. You know, we live in an age of instantaneous results, so we want to have what we want now. We want it now. We want our son to be converted now. We want our spouse to be converted now. But that's oftentimes not how it happens. It happens over a period of time and in a way that sometimes we can't even imagine that it would happen. We have to trust in God's plan and just keep loving, sacrificing, and allow God to be God. There's no magic wand. There's no, you know, magic formula for this to happen. Love is the formula. Love conquers in its time.
Father Donald Calloway, the author of No Turning Back, A Witness to Mercy. I wish we had more time. Any final thoughts for those who are listening?
I would just say I think the message for us today is to trust Jesus, because the world is telling us not to trust him. The world is saying the exact opposite of what the Divine Mercy message is trying to penetrate to the world is. There is mercy, no matter what you've done. Just have the humility to acknowledge the right and the wrong and to come back to Jesus Christ and trust him that he's not out to harm us. And that means people who feel like they've lost hope, people who've, you know, done horrendous things, sinful things, things that they're so just disgusted by that they've done. Jesus is in love with you, and he wants you, and he wants your heart. And just surrender to him. Just have that little bit of humility that says, Lord, I surrender to your love. I surrender to your mercy. I want you in my life. He wants that more than anything. And I think that's so important for the people in the world today, because so many people feel lost and without hope. And as long as you've got a pulse, you've got hope. And Jesus Christ is our hope, and he's our mercy.
First step. What's the first step? Somebody listening right now, what should they do?
Get my book. I would just say, if you're not comfortable with prayer, you don't know how to pray, go to your room, shut the door, get down on your knees, and basically say that, and let that be your prayer. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to pray. I don't know you. Amen. You know, that's fine. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to act like you're perfect. Reality, you know, real prayer is heart to heart. Lord, I'm scared. I'm worried. I don't know what this would mean of me coming to know you. I've met some people that know you that didn't impress me that well or whatever it may be. But Lord, I don't know what to do. And if you're real, please help me. Please help me. Let your prayer be real, whether it's for yourself or for other people. Prayer is at the root of everything. That's the first and the last step.
Father Donald Calloway, thank you so much. A final blessing, please, for everyone.
You bet. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless all the listeners, to touch their hearts with the message of hope and mercy, to let them know that you are madly in love with them. And we ask Our Lady's protective mantle upon everyone who is listening. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father.
You bet.
Happy surfing.
Thank you. God bless you.
We've been going inside the pages of Father Donald Calloway's book, No Turning Back. Father Calloway's work can be found at www.fathercalloway.com or at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, please visit www.insidethepages.com. I'm Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.